The following podcast may contain adult language and an abundance of
crackhead camera angles and terrible editing.
So get ready, nerds, because we're talking Guy Ritchie's King Arthur, Legend of the Sword. Welcome, everybody, and thank you for joining us on this episode of the Salty Nerd Podcast. We're talking Guy Ritchie's King Arthur movie, and I'm joined, as always, by my fantastic panel of nerds. Matt Vader's here. What's up, dude?
Not too much, man. I watched this thing yesterday. It took me all day.
Really?
All day. Like, I kept leaving and coming back. It's like, I don't know what's going on. It's just like, there's giant fucking elephants and shit. And then there's
a heist movie in the middle of it.
There's a heist movie. And it's like, there's people in London from like all corners of the planet. It's weird, man.
No, it's not London. It's
Londinium.
Londinium.
Londinium. Okay. And there's
I think is a color.
And where the fuck is Merlin? All right. I don't even know what I'm watching. Guy Ritchie went on a fucking bender before he made this pile of shit. I don't know, man. This thing is, it's weird. I don't even know what else to say.
Jude is also here.
I concur.
You guys going to be the side of the table over here? All right. Gotcha. Kanish is also here. Welcome, sir.
Yeah, so this week the theme is good directors, bad movies. And I fought tooth and nail not to watch this movie, but Matt Vader, 74, fucking insisted that we watch this movie.
Don't give him credit.
And when he texted us about how bad it was, I was like, didn't I fucking warn you?
And we're all like, that's the point of the week.
Yeah. All week we've been texting each other, fuck, these movies suck. And we're like, that's the whole point of the week.
That's the theme.
That's the theme of the week.
So embrace the suck. I am so tired of listening to you guys bitch about the thing that you did. You did this.
Do we need to make a separate group chat without you in it?
Maybe. I already have it silenced, so I'm not getting a message or an alert every 4 seconds. I'll pick up my phone. I have like 79 messages. I'm like, it's been 5 fucking minutes. You bunch of girls chatting at each other.
Oh my God, guys, what are we going to talk about next?
But Guy Ritchie would not be my first choice to direct an Arthurian epic. I think that he pitched it as basically Lord of the Rings meets Snatch.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we got.
Ritchie. That's it.
That's accurate.
Fuck, that's very good.
Yep.
I feel like this movie could have been good if somebody else had directed it.
Yeah, well, we'll get into it because there's a couple of things I have to say that I'm like, this movie could have been fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Could have been.
But it wasn't.
No.
So.
When the global supply chain is strained, one essential transportation network continues to keep the economy connected 24/7. That network is FreightRail. We're increasing hiring and capacity, all while investing more than $20 billion per year into our network to improve reliability every day. We never stop working to better serve our customers because FreightRail works.
Welcome back, everybody. Hey, if you guys want to support what we do here at the podcast, head over to saltynerdclub.com. It's only $5 a month. You guys get access to 4 exclusive podcasts every single month. And for this month that we are doing for our club members is Star Trek, the original series. And it's probably one of our favorite months ever. We've been having so much fun talking about the classic Star Trek episodes. So if you want to get in on that, head over to saltynerdclub.com. Help support us and what we do here at the podcast. Times are tough right now. We really know that, but we love what we do and we love providing entertainment for you guys and we need your support. So head over to saltynerdclub.com. All right, Jude, take it away.
I just want to say.
Yeah, what's up?
As much fun as Doctor Who was for the Patreon episodes, this month already is off to a great start. Like, it's so much fun. I think this might be my favorite week.
Salt vampires.
Yeah, but that's because Doctor Who kind of sucks. And Star Trek doesn't.
Shots fired. Canceled.
We're going to fight by the end of the day. I'm tired of you.
It's no Red Dwarf.
Angry Red Planet?
No. Red Dwarf.
What's that?
It's the better BBC show.
Oh, is that the one with, I remember you sent me a trailer for that. And I was like, what is this? All right, anyway, King Arthur, Legend of the Sword.
All right, sir.
Take it away.
2017, King Arthur and the Legend of the Sword, rated PG-13 with a runtime of 2 hours, 6 minutes. This was directed by Guy Ritchie and had a budget of $175 million.
Damn, wow.
What do you think this brought into the box office?
I think it flopped, didn't it? I don't know, $100 million.
Okay.
Flat.
I don't know, man. Judging by the monkey movie we watched this week.
$300 million.
What was the budget for this?
$175.
$550 million.
All right. This movie had a box office of $148 million.
Flop.
So didn't quite do it.
Yeah. Apparently this movie with like all the marketing and stuff factored in cost Warner Brothers $150 million. They lost that much money on it.
Ouch.
And that's one of the reasons why it never got a sequel.
Yep.
Also, thank it's God. Terrible yeah. is the other reason it probably
it doesn't know what it is.
I was like, why would this thing want a sequel?
It's a confused person.
Well, originally, they were going to do a King Arthur cinematic universe. There were six films planned.
Oh, Jesus.
Each film was going to focus on a different character. So like the second film would have been Lancelot, then the third film would have been Merlin, and so on and so forth, leading up to a sixth film where all the characters come together as Knights of the Round Table and have like a big adventure type thing.
That sounded like fun.
But that was the plan.
Guy Ritchie's not the one to do it. All right, Jude, take it away. What's the synopsis?
All right. Robbed of his birthright, Jax Teller comes up in the back alleys of the streets of Londinium by whatever means necessary. He fights, steals, manages the finances of a brothel, and is a friend to all the other poor slobs of Londinium. He's a big fish in a putrid pond, fighting Vikings for the honor of the prostitute's wages. He's managed to stay under the radar of the usurper king, Uncle Jude Law, for most of his life. But once he pulls Excalibur from the stone corpse of his dead father, King Uther, he becomes the target of the people, the mages, and Peter Baelish to save the kingdom from Vortigern's tyranny.
I like George.
The first 10 minutes of this movie is fucking awesome.
Oh, that yeah. montage?
Dude, not even the montage. Stuff. No, the part where the battle with the elephants.
Yeah. You mean where Eric Bananas takes his sword and like kills like the evil wizards?
Yes. I was in, dude.
How tall were those elephants?
I know, it's huge.
They were
I
like 100 feet tall.
They were elephants.
Olyphants from Lord of the Rings.
Olyphants.
Olyphants. Timothy Olyphants over there with a stick.
Brought to you by Timothy Olyphants.
Right? Like that whole opening sequence. Like I had never seen this movie before. It's the first watch for me. So I had no idea what to expect. I was just like, Guy Ritchie, I fucking love Guy Ritchie movies. King Arthur, fuck yeah, this sounds cool. First 10 minutes, I was like, this is freaking awesome. Like giant elephants freaking crashing through shit. And then the king comes out and he's badass. And he's like, I'll take care of this myself. Fuck this. He pulls his fucking Excalibur out and he goes at it.
Kills his horse, by the way.
Yeah, he kills his horse. He jumps. He's running.
That was some bullshit.
He's like, I'm going to jump over this chasm and land on the freaking elephant. And it's, fuck the horse. He just leaves the horse go.
Not cool, man.
That was funny. But he's like, he goes in there, he's like killing all the freaking bad guys, and he goes up against the dude, and he's like sitting there with his freaking chair and his eyes are all flaming, and I'm like, this is fucking awesome. And then it completely shifts gears.
Yeah.
To full Guy Ritchie, weird montages.
Oh, it goes straight into the, So he goes down into the Squid Girl's lair and he
kills his wife,
and then Arthur
escapes
because he's like four or something, right?
Yeah, yeah. And that's all part of the opening.
And then
sequence.
We immediately go into the crackhead montage scene of him growing up on the mean streets of Londinium or whatever.
Londinium.
I didn't hate the montage.
I like the montage, but
all he heard was montage. Yeah. It's a montage. Same. Yeah.
But if, like if you're going to go like, okay, we don't have time to spend watching this kid grow up and justify why he's a badass. So we're just going to real quickly show you why he's a badass. I got that.
No, yeah, I was on board.
Yeah, I was on board for
Charlie
that.
Charlie Hunnam and his fucking 4% body fat.
Yeah, he's got
freaking shit jacked.
Kid's got some street smarts.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like not only is he like one of the most like genuinely like good looking men on the planet, like he's got like no body fat whatsoever. Wow.
Looks good, man. What's that guy's
Kate
name?
Is just thirsty for him.
Alexander Skarsgård, I think.
More jealous, actually.
More jealous. Alexander Skarsgård from The Northman. That dude's fucking jacked too. Yeah. He was good looking in that movie.
I mean, these are all people you love to look at, but you would never want to hang out with. Sounds like a lot of work.
Well, it was funny because when he was auditioning for the role, so there were actually two other actors up for the part of King Arthur in this movie. The first was Superman himself, Henry Cavill.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one was Jai Courtney. So bullet dodge there. Mm. But Charlie Hunnam was coming off the final season of Sons of Anarchy. And for that season, like he like dropped a lot of weight. And so like he was like very small.
It's like I would love to be able to just use my regular accent.
Well, Guy Ritchie, you know, when he was auditioning for him, he was like, man, like, you know, like you're not very big, like you're not very muscular, I don't think. And Charlie Hunnam's like, dude, I can get in shape. You know, like that's the thing. And Guy Ritchie's still like, I'm on the fence. I don't think like, you know, you're you have the right look. And he's like, so is it just the look that, like, you know, is holding you back from casting me? And Guy Ritchie was like, yeah. And he's like, tell you what, why don't you put me in a room with Henry Cavill and Jai Courtney and see who walks out of there at the end of the day. And Guy Ritchie was like, I like the cut of your jib, kid. You're
damn, hired. That's dope. I like that. So, like, if this movie was just all of, like, the first 15 minutes and that was just the whole thing we got, I would fucking love this movie. It's weird. It's creepy. It's got, like, really dark tones. It's got mythical shit going on. It's got really great graphics and fun characters. I'm like, yeah, this movie sounds freaking awesome. Yeah, but then a huge chunk right smack in the middle of this movie is a straight Guy Ritchie heist movie.
Bizarre.
And it doesn't fit.
And I'm
like, these are two different movies. Yeah. You've got a medieval, smarmy, street smarts heist movie in the middle of your Arthurian freaking awesome legend mythology movie. And the two don't jive together at all.
There's things in this movie that just threw me for a loop. First off, Littlefinger's in this thing. And all I see is Littlefinger shooting a bow.
You mean Goose Fat Bill?
Yeah, whatever. No, it's Littlefinger. And every time he opens his mouth, all I heard was Littlefinger.
Like, he just plays himself in everything.
He's gonna turn on you.
Well, he does, doesn't he? He does turn on them. No, or he does something.
He ends up getting knighted at the end with the other sir people we've never heard of before.
Ramsay Bolton was in this movie too.
Yeah, a bunch of Game of Thrones cameos.
Bruce Bolton. The thing that threw me in this movie, and it just really messes me up, is every time they do an exposition dump, they're doing these weird cuts and edits and they're going forward in time and backward in time. Then he's telling the story. Then they go backward in time and forward in time. And it's like, I don't know what's going on.
That's very,
and it was like, so distracting. It literally took me 3 hours to get through that 30-minute section of the movie.
This movie is like a textbook example of, like, how not to pace a movie. Because the pacing of the movie is all over the place. Originally, Guy Ritchie's original cut was like 3.5 hours long. And this is one of those movies where I think it could have benefited from going the Zack Snyder route of just, like, you know, being bloated and overblown and, like, whatever. But he had to cut it down to, like, about 2 hours. And so part of the pacing issues is, like, he had to basically create these montages to explain shit that, like, he had to cut out. And it this movie gives me motion sickness and whiplash sprinkled throughout the movie, there are these, like, bits where, like, they're explaining what's happening and then they're cutting back and forth between, like, the events that they're talking about. And it's so out of place. It, like, ramps up and then it slows way down, then it ramps up again and it slows way down. And you just get exhausted watching this movie because of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great example is, like, there's a scene in this movie where they talk about how, in order to become King Arthur and to utilize Excalibur the way he's supposed to, the way he's meant to, he has to go on this, like, walkabout. He has to go on this journey.
He has to go to the Dark Lands.
Yeah, he has to go to the Dark Lands or some shit.
He has to go spend 40 days and 40 nights in the desert or whatever.
I'm like, they cut through that so quickly. And I'm like, that's the coolest fucking part of the movie. Like, he goes into this underground. There's fucking rodents of unusual size. You could have had freaking...
That's a weird snake.
Princess,
R-O-U-S's? Yeah.
I don't think they exist.
You could have had that kind of shit going on. And he literally fights giant rats. And then he fights a giant bat. But it's all just, like, freaking quick cuts and whatever. And it's got exposition, like, over top of it. And I'm like, slow the fuck down and let us enjoy this amazing mythological adventure. Like, you're skipping over the best parts and you're instead focusing on this goofy freaking heist. That doesn't make any sense. That doesn't fit in the movie. I was so irritated because this movie has these gems. And I'm like, this would be freaking awesome if they just let it breathe.
There's a lot of stuff in this movie that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But it was just so weirdly put together and paced. It was just strange. It's like the mage chick when she's warging into the animals.
Yeah.
I love that.
I did too.
But, you know, again, I'm going, oh, Game of Thrones. Okay. But, you know, it was just cool how they did it, you know, but it was just.
Where did the giant snake come from?
I have no idea. I was just going to ask. This giant mountain-sized snake.
Fucking huge.
I couldn't tell. This is where the movie loses me. I couldn't tell if that was just allegory for something or if it was real.
I thought it was real.
Was it a fever dream or was Guy Ritchie just trying to show us something? I don't get it.
Real. Yeah, it was a real snake. They didn't set that up at all. Like, the mage lady wasn't like, oh, by the way, you're going to sneak in there and then I'm going to follow you in a giant snake body.
But right before that, she had that other snake bite him on the neck. So I'm trying to, I was trying to figure out.
That was so that the big snake wouldn't attack him because he had the venom in his veins.
Oh, okay. Well, oh, they could have explained that a little better.
I had no idea.
But yeah, it's just, it was very strange. And it just.
Well, also the mage lady. So like, first of all, one of the weird choices for this movie was they didn't include Merlin. They didn't include Lancelot. They didn't include
a lot of that.
Well, she was supposed to be Guinevere originally, but as they were shooting the movie, Guy Ritchie was like, this doesn't work. We're just going to make her a generic mage.
Guinevere is a witch.
Yeah.
I'm not a witch. I'm your wife.
So many Princess Bride references already.
I really enjoyed the octopus people.
The sirens.
I didn't.
Was the main one supposed to be Ursula?
The fat one?
Yeah.
Like there's a fat one and then there's two pretty ones.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Pretty ones?
Yeah.
They were pretty.
They were. Oh,
they were prettier than Ursula.
they were gross. They didn't, but that just didn't work for me.
But that was another really cool element to this movie that I felt like didn't get played up enough. Is like this really dark magic side of things where like this jealous, who was Jude Law in this movie? Was he the brother?
Yeah, yes. He was Uther Pendragon's brother.
Okay.
Or the girl.
Which is another weird kind of change from the legend, because originally, like, you know, it was Arthur's bastard son, Mordred, who kind of rose up and ended up killing him. But in this movie, Uther kills the mage Mordred at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And he was the one who was kind of in league with Uther's brother. And so like they kind of, one of the interesting things about the making of the script was that they'd been trying to develop a King Arthur movie for like quite some time. And they had like dozens of scripts. And so like this movie is actually like a patchwork combination of elements from all these other scripts that were just kind of put together and be like, hey, this looks kind of cool.
It's so convoluted.
It really is. And it's overly bloated and it really needed to be streamlined a little bit more. There's so many odd creative choices in this movie. Like every character speaks in like a East London accent as opposed to like actual, like, you know, time appropriate language.
Londinium.
Yeah. And like there's like an Asian martial arts master named George.
Yes. I fucking love George. He was so cool.
But his name's George.
It's okay.
everyone in this movie has like a nickname. Like a goose. That's a very, and stuff like
that's
that.
A very Guy Ritchie thing.
Yeah. And like the weird blend of like modern Guy Ritchie crime movies with like Arthurian epic legend, just like it didn't work.
It didn't fit.
Very strange.
Like this has got a good movie in there somewhere. It just needed to be directed by somebody else.
I feel like they should have taken out all of the King Arthur lore and just made a creepy heist movie.
Yeah, could have done that.
Yeah.
An assassination movie.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or taken out
the bullshit, the
weird heist stuff, and give us a cool King Arthur movie.
Or take that shit completely out and give us a King Arthur movie. Like the combination of both of them, it didn't work. It was really hard to follow. And it was boring.
Yeah, there are two times in this movie where basically Arthur harnesses the power of Excalibur. And it's such a complete, like overpowered thing. Where, the first time, like it's like in this like weird dust storm / hurricane that just happens to miss all of his friends and take out like all the bad guys. And, you know, every time I'm watching this thing and it's so blatantly CGI that
it looks
cool. But at the same time, you're just kind of like, what the hell is going on?
I thought every time he like activated his superpower sword, I was watching a superhero movie.
Yeah, like basically.
Because he takes it and he puts two hands on it. It immediately goes into superpower mode. It lights up like a lightsaber.
Yeah.
And it shakes.
I think what it does is it slows time down for him.
Right.
And he can go around and kill everybody.
Turns him into a superhero.
Which is, correct me if I'm wrong.
And the sword takes over.
Yeah.
The sword takes him over and it just...
Because his eyes glow and shit like that.
Fucks everybody up. Yeah. All the bad guys.
In Legend... If you hold Excalibur, you're like untouchable, right? Like nothing can harm you.
So in the original Arthurian legend, whoever wields Excalibur cannot be killed.
Right.
So basically you're kind of like immune, even though it's not like if you get stabbed by a sword, you're going to die. But it's just that Excalibur makes it so like you can't get hit by an arrow or stabbed by a sword or anything like that while you're wielding it, because like for whatever reason you are either lucky or like you can deflect stuff or like what have you. So like that was like the original power. It wasn't something where you could like shoot a laser from a hilt.
That would have been dope.
It turns into a gun.
I honestly just kept wanting like the deep from the boys to like walk into that cave and be like, hey, what's up, girls?
That's a reference. Holy shit. Herogasm all up in there.
Oh, man, yes. He would have been all over that.
Yeah, you're going to jerk me off with all 8 of your legs.
Yeah, he's like, foursome.
Freaking the boys. Dude, what?
I love the deep.
The deep is hilarious. It's much more interesting than this movie. So I don't know, man.
So there's like an assassination plot right in the middle of this movie where they're trying to kill Jude Law.
Yeah, I didn't need it.
And for some reason, Goose Fat Bill just like they're like, it's a trap. Don't do it. And he's like, I'm going to do it anyway.
He's like, fuck it. I hate that guy.
Yeah. He's like, whatever. Yeah. But that's the part where I thought he betrayed them, where they're like, don't do it. It's a trap. You're going to spring this. And it ends up like killing one of his team members.
What's that girl, Maggie or whatever? I'm like, you literally just got Maggie killed.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm going to do it anyway. So that's kind of like the Peter Baelish thing that I saw. And I was like, he did it.
She's been double agenting.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm doing this. She's been double agenting between Jude Law's team and the rebels or whatever. And like feeding them information. And like literally Jude Law is onto her. And he's like, okay, if I get an assassination attempt, I know it's her. Mm-hmm. And he does. So he's like, yeah, who's this bitch?
Yeah, it's this bitch.
Fucking Peter Baelish.
Baelish. God damn it.
Yeah, and that leads into like the whole like chase scene throughout Londinium.
we'll get to
culminating in the Kung Fu school.
We'll get there. We'll get there in a second.
Don't need any of that.
We're going to take a break real quick and we'll be right back. We're going to talk about the Kung Fu school in the middle of London. Welcome back, everybody. Hey, if you guys want to support what we do here and you like what we do and you like listening to us and you'd like to wear some of our merch, go to saltynerdstore.com and you can buy some of our t-shirts. We got a bunch of designs there. My favorite, personal favorite, is the one I'm wearing right now. It's the official logo. Vader's wearing it as well. You guys can catch that online. And don't forget to type in salty in the promo code area or in the checkout area and you get 10% off. So it'll help you out a little bit. And we love seeing pictures. So if you guys get the shirt and you're wearing it, send us a selfie or whatever. We'll post it up there on Instagram or Twitter or whatever. Shout you out and say thank you.
I feel like we all should have worn the One Star Crap Fest shirts today.
That would have been appropriate. Yeah. All right. So we get...
Kung Fu school in ancient London.
I will say one thing.
Taught by George.
I love George. George is a fucking cool character, but it makes no sense whatsoever.
That's what he just sits there and looks cool.
Well what's that's funny is like if you've ever seen Netflix's Marco Polo, that same actor plays like a blind kung fu master in that movie as well. Mm. And so like he was basically just playing the exact same role in this one, except his name was George.
And I love him and squeeze him. Call him George.
Which way did he go?
What's it doing, George?
It's just, man, this movie is so goofy. But like Jude Law's character, like the fucking weird dark magic shit that he's using is super cool. Like he goes down there in order to gain power, he kills his wife.
And he has to kill someone he loves.
Yeah, bleeds her out into the water underneath the castle and like sacrifices her to these sirens. And then he gets power. And like later on, I guess he needs to do it again. So he kills his fucking daughter.
Yeah.
And he like shanks her while he's like, I love you so much. He gives her a hug and then shanks her in the gut. And then she's dead. And he's like, credit to Jude.
He's going to take her down to those caves.
Yeah.
Too.
He's carrying her down there. And credit to Jude Law because he performs his thing. Oh my God.
I actually worked on his daughter when I worked in the spa.
Really? Mm-hmm. Oh, wasn't the same chick in this movie, was it? Okay.
She's little.
So like there's elements of this movie that could have been really freaking cool. And they just didn't hammer down on it. And Guy Ritchie went too far to the Guy Ritchie side.
He goes too far.
He went to Guy Ritchie.
The Guy Ritchie elves. Too far.
Which you know, usually it's fine.
Yeah.
When it's just not here.
When it's a Guy Ritchie movie and you know what you're getting into, you're absolutely like, I'm in for the ride. Like The Gentleman with McConaughey. Like I fucking love those movies. Snatch is a great movie.
Yeah, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
Awesome movie. He just didn't work with this one, man.
Just not, you know, lock swords and two smoking
muskets.
Cannons. I don't know, whatever. Two smoking wizard wands.
I will say, like, the actor, what's the guy's actor's name? Charlie Hunnam. He's a great Arthur.
I think he was fine.
Yeah, he did great. I think he had some suave.
What's some stuff in this movie that was good?
Hey, there were a bunch of Vikings in this movie.
The Vikings?
Oh, yeah, I like the Vikings.
But here's the thing. Every dude looks better with a long beard, long hair, and braids. Every dude.
It is known.
You know, I have an issue with the Viking, though, and I caught this.
He's kind of a pussy.
No, it's not that. It's not that. Well, maybe yes, but there was a moment, and I think it might have been an editing issue, but did you guys remember when they first introduced the Vikings? King Arthur goes down there and he cuts off the dude's braid, right?
Oh, man.
Remember he did that?
Yeah.
His beard braid.
Was it his beard braid? Oh, okay. I thought it was his back braid because he showed up in the next scene. He had his braid back, but it was his beard. Mm-hmm. Okay. I made a mistake then. Never mind. What's good?
Yeah. Give me some stuff that you liked about this movie.
The first 10 minutes were fucking awesome.
That was pretty cool.
Really freaking cool. The montage going through the dark world where he's like fighting bats and shit like that. Montage. That was cool. Jude Law's like black magic shit was cool. I like that. I liked how he turned into like freaking Hades or whatever.
So that was, who was the big bad? Was that him at the end?
That was him.
That was Jude Law.
Yeah.
In the armor, like yeah. The Death Eater looking
with
shit.
The weird, yeah. Looks like a metal band. Yeah. That was Jude Law, but I guess he changed his appearance or something. Like he turns into
his avatar.
Yeah.
It's very strange. Very strange.
I didn't understand why they did that.
It's kind of like a video game movie.
It felt very much like a video game movie. The third act, the ending.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, the other thing I liked, and this, because I'd never seen this before, so I wasn't expecting this, but the sword being in the stone and the stone turning out to actually be his father.
Yeah, that was cool.
I thought that was freaking cool because I'd never thought about that before.
I was like, gross.
No, it's freaking cool. Like his dad's
he had to pull it out of the stone. Turns out that's your dad.
Yeah, I thought that had some good meaning to it.
What about David Beckham's cameo?
Oh, God, David Beckham.
Oh, wasn't he like a, he's like a guard or something, right? Yeah, yeah.
He was a palace guard.
You cunt, you better pull that sword.
Yeah, he was a palace guard named Trigger. And he was there when Charlie Hunnam first pulls the sword from the stone.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
And he's just like, oi, pull it out.
Yeah. Trigger McGavin. Pew, pew, pew.
It's like, get it up there, fail, get your stamp, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Okay, I remember him. All right. You guys want to do final thoughts?
I just looked through all of Guy Ritchie's movies, and there's not a single one that I like.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you're not a guy.
Jude's not a Guy Ritchie fan.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Like he's
a cunt.
He's definitely made like his share of bad movies, but like overall, like when he sticks to like his lane, which is like the kind of like London crime drama stuff. Like I really liked Wrath of Man. I liked I sort of liked The Gentleman. I didn't think it was his best, but like Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels and Snatch are both like classics in my book. So he can do stuff, but then like when he works with Madonna. It's just like, come on.
I think they're done.
All right, let's do final thoughts. Vader, give it a rating. Do you have a favorite moment?
I like the beginning, like you said. I kind of like the video game fight at the end, the big climax. Just, it's very metal. But they needed like a heavy metal soundtrack.
They did. Do you remember in Call the Conqueror when they had the heavy metal soundtrack over the beginning?
No, I mean, this thing is like some like dark black death metal going on with it. Yeah. Okay. It would have made it much, at least more bearable for me. Not a good movie, man. I think I'm just going to stay at 2.
Okay.
It's not a one-star craft fest because there was some stuff that I kind of liked about it. But like I said, it's not, but mostly it's bad. It's just, like I said, it took me all day to get through yesterday. I did not enjoy most of it. I was confused. 2 stars.
Okay.
Yeah.
2 stars. Jude, how about you?
This movie was a chore to get through. It's the longest one that we watched this week. And the infuriating part is that it could have been great. It's too dark to be PG-13, and it's not dark enough to be rated R. And it's somewhere in the middle of this fucking wasteland of a movie, and that's exactly where this movie needs to be, is in a fucking wasteland. I hated it. I will never watch it again. I love King Arthur and medieval times and all, and I love dark and creepy. And this wasn't either. It was just annoying. It was really annoying because it didn't pick a lane. And it was boring and it was too long. Could have been great, which is really what pisses me off. So I'm not gonna give it a 1 star, but I'm gonna give it like 1.5 fucking montages.
Okay. Katie, how about you?
All right, so I remember when this movie first came out, I was very excited to see it because I do like Guy Ritchie movies. And I got physically nauseous watching this movie for the first time. And part of that was just like, you know, I wasn't kidding when I said like this movie gives me whiplash, motion sickness, because like it's just so all over the place. And I was worried having to watch it again that I was going to get nauseous again watching it. Luckily, I didn't, but I think that's because I knew what to expect from it. It's not a good movie, like, at all. I'm going to say that this is, without a doubt, a one-star crap fest as well. I did not like this movie at all. I don't think it has any redeeming qualities to it. I mean, like, visually, like, it's cool, but you can say that about every Guy Ritchie movie. The story itself is almost insulting to people who know and like the legend of Arthur and, like, that time period and stuff like that. I would have rather he just, like, you know, make his own, you know, unique kind of, like, fantasy story as opposed to, like, you know, co-opting the King Arthur thing. Yeah. But, you know, this is another example of, like, you know, Zack Snyder style poor planning of a film where, like, if you have to basically cut out, you know, like, an hour and a half worth of screen time in order to deliver a finished product that doesn't make any sense, you messed up somewhere along the line. So, like, I don't think this is a very good movie.
Yeah, I feel like if you take out just pulling the sword out of the stone in the final scene where he's like, it's a round table, this isn't even a King Arthur movie.
I mean, except for his name being Arthur.
I mean, there's
no Guinevere. There's no Guinevere. Yeah. There's no Merlin.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a training montage where he goes to a kung fu school.
Yeah.
learns the Eastern art of self-defense.
Thank God.
So what did you give it for a rating?
One star craft fest.
Okay. I'm going to give it the highest rating this week because it was out of all three movies that we watched this week. This is the one that I didn't hate the most.
You hated it the least?
Hated it the least. It's not good.
High praise.
It's not good, but it had more of what I liked than it didn't.
Okay.
Sure. 2 stars for me. Probably not going to watch it again. Probably wouldn't suggest watching it because it kind of, again,
I would judge you if you watched it again.
It's my first watch. Yeah, that's it. 2 stars for me. Okay, guys, that's it for the podcast. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. Next week, or not next week, next couple of days or so, the episode will drop. We're talking about the mythical lost episode of Indiana Jones that doesn't exist in our
universe.
Apparently,
there's a movie called
Don't say its name. You're
not allowed to say its name. Smith.
Shh.
And the diamond rainbow.
All right, guys.
Smith and the diamond rainbow. I watched that movie. Yeah.
Actually, sounds great. Put it on the list. We're making that too.
Sounds fucking hilarious.
Cleveland Smith. Oh, that Cleveland Smith.
We named the dog Cleveland. What are you talking about?
All right, guys, that's it for the podcast. Vader, where can they find you on the socials?
You can find me at MattVader74 on the social medias, the Twitter, the YouTube. So
I'm sorry.
The Instas. Thanks. Cleveland Smith. Cleveland Smith and the Diamond Rainbow. All right, let's go.
That's so funny.
Jude, where can I find you?
Funnily enough, Katie and I will be in Cleveland next week. You can find me at I Am Juju on Instagram and on TikTok.
Kadish, where can they find you at?
You can find me at Matthew Kadish, K-A-D-I-S-H, KadishBooks.com takes you to our Amazon page. And please sign up for our newsletter at saltylist.com. We send out a newsletter every Monday giving you guys updates about the shows and what we're doing in the future and all that fun stuff. So if you like to keep updated and get our show notes and stuff like that, sign up for our newsletter. It's good.
Yeah. We have a P.O. box.
That's right.
If you have stamps, send us your weird shit.
It's in the description down below.
Yeah, if you have a screenplay entitled Cleveland Smith and the Diamond Brainbone,
send that shit over.
All right, folks. Thank you guys for watching. Comment below. Stay salty, my friends.